Welcome to An Amber a Day, the podcast all about functional nutrition for PCOS. I'm Amber Fisher, a certified nutrition specialist and licensed dietitian nutritionist, and I have training in functional medicine. I also have PCOS, and on this podcast, we discuss PCOS in depth, the nutrition strategies for it, as well as the realities of living with it and making this lifestyle work. For further guidance and meal plan support, you can check out the show notes for links to my PCOS courses and programs. And if this podcast helps you, please do me a favor and leave me a review. Thank you so much for being here. Let's get into today's episode. You're listening to An Amber a Day, the Functional Nutrition Podcast. And I am your host, Amber Fisher, and today I'm here with Dora Toma, who is a fertility coach through the Institute for Functional Medicine, correct?
Yeah, official title is Functional Medicine Certified Health Coach, and I'm also a fertility coach or expert, we'll call it.
Awesome. Great. Well, I'm very excited to have you here. Dora and I have been, making friends over Instagram for a few months now. So it's like really exciting for both of us to actually get to talk to each other and see each other's faces and stuff. So Dora has an interesting story because she has dealt with PCOS and kind of come out the other end of things, able to work on her fertility and all of that. So we want to talk a bit about that today. So Dora, why don't you start us off? Tell us a little bit about you and your story.
Of course. First of all, I just wanted to thank you for giving me this opportunity and friending, being my friend on Instagram. I just love, this social media because it can connect like-minded people from different areas of the world, of the country, of the even the state and so on. So it doesn't feel so isolated. I have to be honest, in my circle of friends, I don't have as many like-minded people, even in family. So obviously I know that I'm not the only one like that, but it's great to connect and be supporting each other and cheering each other and asking questions. So yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for inviting me here.
Of course. Well, I'm happy that you're here.
Yeah. And just to answer your question, yes, I've been diagnosed with PCOS not too long ago, to be honest. I always had irregular periods, but it was nothing outside the normal. The obvious weight gain, but it wasn't coming out like boom, it's really a problem. It was just kind of like something lingering. Always had a little bit extra weight, but not too much. It was just kind of like the puffiness. I had some acne, just a little tiny things. And when I was diagnosed, it was 2016. And that was the kind of like the peak of, or the dip, I would call it, of my health. Because that year I had 5 periods in the entire year. I would have a period every 150 days. I was thinking to that I wanted to prepare my body to get pregnant at one point, and I started working out, and I was, my mind back then, I was thinking that, well, in order to be able to avoid too much weight gain, because that was the biggest fear for me in pregnancy, is to start working out, keeping myself fit, and, working on my diet, eating better, and so on and so forth. Like any other woman thinks in their 20s, that what they want to do and how they're envisioning their pregnancy, fertility, and so on. So I jumped into that and started working with a nutritionist and a personal trainer, actually, she was working on the diet too. And I was having issues and, period was not coming. And I was telling her, well, taking pictures, those type of the traditional, personal trainer, like taking pictures on a weekly basis and everything. And at one point I got to a very low weight for me, for my body, by body composition. I looked great. I was ripped, right? but I felt like crap. I don't even know how to explain, but that was definitely not how I felt inside. I looked amazing. Even now I'm looking at pictures. I'm like, wow, I was so hot. But I was just like, oh my God. But inside my body was crying, was screaming. Mm-hmm. And then I was telling my personal trainer, well, you know, like this, I cannot get rid of this pouch. This, you know, I look like I'm 6 months pregnant, or, you know, or 5 months pregnant. And she was like, well, let me talk with somebody. And lo and behold, she had a colleague who was doing somewhat similar work, or they started working there. They were colleagues, and he was a functional medicine practitioner as well, functional medicine nutritionist. And she introduced me to him, and he was like, well, first we got to do a SIBO test. Back then it was kind of like the beginning of it. So we jumped on it. Obviously my numbers were through the roof, and we started looking at it and started working with him, because I lived with chronic constipation for a long period of time. And my personal doctor said, oh, you just need to eat more fiber and drink more water. And if not, then I'll put you on a lifetime medication. I just didn't like it. That threw me off. So yeah. And I was like, wow, finally somebody believes me and thinks that there's something wrong with me. So I started working on that. It took a long time, but the first thing that came back was my period. And it started to get better and better. And I was just excited, because before that, I didn't know anything. I kind of felt, and I have a very strong intuition. So I felt that this is not kind of like early menopause. But I was still like, it's still not normal. It's still not normal to have a period every 150 days. Again, I didn't know the repercussions of endometrial cancer, of any, like all the other things that, you know, all your listeners know from your own story and from your practice. But as the more I started working with this practitioner, the more I learned all the things that, you know, the good and the bad, and how I can improve that. And I can improve it with diet and lifestyle. And lo and behold, it took about a year and something to like really put my body into the best shape. And I'm trying to remember like that the timeline in 2018. So it took about a year and something. 2018, about April, I got pregnant. So excited, super. I was like, yes. And it was... they really didn't have any issues with conception, but things were kind of wonky. And I had bleeding after 10 weeks pregnancy. I've always wanted to have a natural birth. And I just was trying from my past experience with my health. I was like, I just don't want to go to a doctor unless I really need to. So I went under midwifery care. So Long story short, I was able to carry the pregnancy until 23 weeks. Unfortunately, at 23 weeks, everything that I haven't worked on enough, they kind of backfired, and I lost the pregnancy at 23 weeks. I went to premature labor, and I lost a child. Obviously, I had to go to the hospital, so the doctors didn't... they still had to come into my life. And from that point, because until then I started learning about functional medicine, about how to improve my health, how to help others. And also while I was working with that practitioner before, the more I learned, the more I felt like I need to share this with other people. I need to help other people understand that feeling bloated, it feel like a balloon, or looking like you're 5 months pregnant, it's not normal. Or not having a bowel movement every day, it's not normal, because that's where I started. And then also the hormones and PCOS and everything. So I was like, but once I had this experience with a loss, I was like, this is much this is bigger. This has to be for sure. And I mean, because I had so much knowledge from before, from previous experience, but when I got there into the hospital and I felt so alone, unsupported by doctors, by anybody, nobody. And throughout this hiccup between 10 weeks and 23 weeks, nobody was able to give me some answers, some direction into like specific, and kind of tell me, okay, we have to look at your lifestyle. What are you doing? How are you working? Are you stressed? Are you putting too much pressure on yourself? And even mentally or physically, it's not just that. And nobody came with that solution. They were like, oh, you just, you know, just rest a little bit. Maybe not, you know, if things are getting worse, you're going to have to go on bed rest. You know, that type of approach, that didn't work for me. And so, like I said, when I was in that bed, in that hospital bed, after everything's happened, I was like, I need to learn more. First of all, just get as much information for myself to get back on my feet. Also get pregnant again, hopefully, and then have a healthy baby and then help other women.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
You know, thank you for sharing that. I mean, that.
So if everybody, before I start, no, have a baby. I did that work. I did that. And it wasn't easy. It was definitely wasn't easy. But now I have a 20 months old and she's just a pure joy.
So I wanted to interrupt the podcast really quickly to let you know some exciting news. If you've enjoyed this conversation with Dora, then you will be pleased to know that I have actually incorporated her into my practice and we are joining forces. So I've always wanted to have the ability to give my clients a bit more support, a bit more coaching than I'm really able to do. And Dora really fills that need really well, along with, you know, continuing support from my right hand lady, Linnea, who is still around and still helping us out with messaging and coaching in that department. So we've got a great team of three now. I'm very excited about it. And anyone who starts new programs with me as of May of this year will have the chance to work with myself and Dora. So we have three different programs. We've got a 3-month program, a 6-month program, and a 6-month plus program. So we feel like it really covers all of the different potential needs that clients might have. And whether you're new to this work or you've been doing it for a while, I'm really excited about it. I've been in practice now for 7 years and I've learned a lot about what works best and what types of programs clients tend to do well on, what they really need. So I'm very excited that we now have all this in place. The way it works to work one-on-one with me is that I enroll a very limited number of clients each month at the beginning of the month. And so we have just a few spots. I don't work with very many people. And if you are interested in any of this, you can find all the details on my website. I will link to it in the show notes. But basically, if you decide you want to work with us, you kind of apply for a position. And if you're accepted, then you either book your initial appointment to kind of get an intake going, or if there are no initial appointments left, you'll be placed on a waiting list. After the initial appointment, you're given time to decide if it's right for you. So it's not a pressure thing. I never pressure clients in visits to, you know, move forward or anything. I really want you to want to work with me and to feel like this is the best choice for you. So you'll have some time to decide if it's right for you. after meeting me. So even if you're put on the wait list, you know, from time to time, people who did have initial appointments decide not to move forward. And so a spot may still open up. So I encourage you, we're going to give out spots on a first come, first serve basis. And no matter what program you decide that you want to do. So please reach out as soon as you can if you know you want to work together. I hope that some of you who are listening will be future clients and get to take advantage of this great team that I've created. I'm really, really excited about it. But back to the podcast.
I feel like it's so important to talk about these things because so often, you know, even in my work, we will talk about PCOS as this issue getting pregnant, right? Like you're not ovulating regularly, so it's harder to get pregnant. And, you know, let's think about all the things we can do to get you to where you're able to get pregnant. But what we often fail to kind of like follow through on in our thinking process, and I know I did this, is thinking about the fact that with PCOS come certain risks when you are pregnant. You know, we are at higher risk of miscarriage. We're at higher risk of stillbirth. We're at higher risk of premature birth. I myself had my son at 30 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, and he was in the NICU for a long time and I was totally unprepared for that. And I, you know, nothing compares to losing a child, and losing a child at 23 weeks, ugh, that's got to be one of the hardest things that anyone could ever go through. So I feel so much for you on that. But just from my little experience that I had of, you know, being in the hospital, having my son way too early, not knowing what was going to happen and if he was going to be able to be healthy, and that feeling of just being so alone and like nobody saw it coming, even though I felt throughout my pregnancy, because I also dealt with bleeding and things during my pregnancy, I felt that something was wrong, but nobody was kind of like, I don't know. I feel that sometimes the conventional medical care that pregnant women get is so dismissive and so much like, you know, if you complain or you say, hey, I don't feel good, or I don't think something's right, they're kind of like, oh, you're just pregnant. You know, they placate you, or they sort of, treat you like, almost like they patronize you. They treat you like you're a little kid, you know, and you can't make decisions for yourself, or you're crazy or something. You're hysterical. And I felt that acutely while I was pregnant because, you know, outside of pregnancy, people would treat me a certain way. You know, I'm a highly educated like individual. So people sometimes, you know, they treat me with respect. When I was pregnant, I felt like a lot of that respect went out the window and suddenly no one would listen to me. And it was so frustrating. So I think it's so important to talk about the fact that when you have PCOS, you can't just focus on getting pregnant. It's so important too, for us to know that whatever we do to help ourselves, whatever we do to make ourselves more healthy in that preconception phase, that carries into, you know, later on. And things are going to happen. And, you know, it's not like for anyone who's listening, it's not your fault. If you have a miscarriage, it's not your fault. If you have a stillbirth, like, absolutely not your fault. But I do think that it helps. It helped me. And I know that it helps a lot of my clients to feel like they've done everything that they can to make sure that they're going to be healthy throughout their pregnancy. And then not just that, but then after they have the baby, because if you're getting pregnant while you're already depleted, then, you know, I mean, the baby's going to take what it needs, you know? So at the end of your pregnancy, you can come out of that. And I certainly came out of the other end of my pregnancy feeling like totally drained and just like I had used up all my reserves of nutrients, you know? So correct. It's so important to look at the full cycle of these things.
Yeah. And I also like to, because of my personal experience, because of my own personal story, it's also the, you know, organizing the thoughts, organizing the life, organizing in even kind of befriending with stress and handling well the stress. And not because now I'm looking at what was that first pregnancy, how I had my second pregnancy. I mean, first of all, during the first pregnancy, I was in very unliked job. I was in a job that I just hated so much. And I knew, and I actually discussed that with my practitioner, that that was kind of one heavy cause of my personal health conditions. But I just couldn't give up because of money, career, right? And it just kind of, sometimes we feel like there is nothing out there because it's a good job, right? But I cannot handle it with it. And it's that conflicting fear. And it's obviously when you're in a relationship, you also have to confront with the other person, right? You cannot make a decision like, I'm going to quit today. So, and back then I was like, I'm going to stay with this, my mind, my plan, because I'm a planner. So my plan was like, I'm going to stay with this on this pregnancy. I'm going to hold on this job until I give birth. I want to benefit from that damn short-term disability that I've already contributed to. And right. Then I'll peace out. And nobody will, you know, I'll just keep holding on. And I can tell you stories. I was working from home, luckily, but I was having so much pain. I could not sit on the chair for an hour. So I had to stay on the chair, be on the phone. So I was doing a sales job. And then I would have to lay down on the floor. I could not stay. And I was laying down on the floor for 20 minutes to recover. And then I go back. And it was just, you know, while I'm back then, I was just like, I need to go. I need to go. I need to go. And this kind of taxing my adrenals. And I knew that. But I was like, I gotta do this. I felt so in my perception, it was that I have to do this because there is no other choice. Mm-hmm. If I would have had a coach in my life and tell me, you do have a choice. Priority is the baby, right? Yes. So, you know, it's either the baby or that. And then I was going to the gym and I was like, I obviously there were, you know, I was in a big gym, you know, those popular gyms, and there were also other women pregnant. They were, you know, pulling and pushing and doing like very heavy as a normal woman or person does. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do the same because I have a history of working out. So my body was technically used to all that, but it was already drained. And I just didn't want to accept that. I knew it, but I was not able to accept it. I was not ready to accept it. So technically, in my mind, I was not ready for a lot of things. And kind of scaled down to that result. And again, it's not my fault. I'm not blaming myself. But I think it's, you know, what the universe kind of, it was my lesson. It was, you know, I try not to also say that a child is mine. It's not mine. I don't have anything mine. It's everything. We are everything. And we are part of this world, this universe, you know, to God or whoever, whatever you want to call it. But we don't own each other. So that child was basically part of my lesson, my journey, my life's journey, in order to learn what I have to accept. So after everything that happened in a job, my job, I had to quit.
I'm just over here like nodding my head like as much as I can nod it, because I can just relate so much to that, Pat. And you know, I've always said this, and I don't like to place my own like you said, we don't own anybody. So I don't like to place my own journey and my own lessons onto other people's journey, because everyone has their own path, right? But for me, what I've gone through with infertility and PCOS and cancer and all of those things, those were all lessons for me. And I needed to go through them and I needed to learn the lesson. And that was the best way to teach me that lesson. And I'm grateful for those experiences, because I would not be the person that I am. I wouldn't be the healer that I am without having gone through all that stuff. So I really believe that a lot of people who are in healing professions, we do go through our own health struggles, because it's like the only way to make it clear to you hey, like, you have a gift and you need to use it to help other people. You know, if I hadn't gone through that stuff, I mean, I don't think I would ever, first of all, have become a nutritionist. But even if I had, like, I would be a much different nutritionist than I am now. I probably would be very, like, very blamey. Like, you know how some people can be blaming other people for their, you know, oh, you know, you have PCOS because you're overweight or whatever, you know, but that's not what it is. Because I've been through it, I can relate to that. And the other thing that you said that just really, like, rung true for me was that kind of lesson of, like, needing to make choices that prioritize your own healing and your own, like, stress relief. And I, very similar to you, have always been somebody who pushes and pushes and kind of pushes myself to the limit and don't listen to my body and can be disconnected from my body and what it needs because I can be so cerebral. And the experience of pregnancy, and I did have to do bed rest throughout my pregnancy as well, because I tried to do the, like, you know, exercising like everybody else seems to do. I wanted to do prenatal yoga, and anytime that I would have prenatal, I would do prenatal yoga, I'd start bleeding. So it was like, okay, no, I can't do any activity. So that experience of just being, like, completely bedridden throughout my pregnancy was such, like, a push from the universe to be like, okay, like, you're not going to listen about, you know, sitting still. We're going to make you, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, like, I still look back on that experience. Pregnancy was really hard for me. I did not have a good pregnancy. I didn't feel good. I never wanted to do it again after I had my son. I was like, I'm done. But I learned a lot during that, and I learned how to meditate from that experience because I had to sit still for so long. So, you know, it really was a gift in a lot of ways.
I think it's also because I read a lot about PCOS. I mean, first of all, like I said, for my own understanding, why, you know, kind of like why me, where is it coming from? Ooh, you know, is there something, because I have that kind of detective kind of mentality. Like, I just want to know. Just let me do a little bit more digging. Let me find out a little bit more.
Same.
And yeah, I think that's kind of the nature in us.
I have to get to the bottom of this. Like, exactly. What is going on here?
But I think it is very specific. I don't want to say specific, but it's common for women with PCOS to be also type A personalities.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, it's not the only thing. There are so many other causes, let's call it like that, or predispositions. But there's also this part, because we can put our adrenals to the limit, like, you know, to be on top. And, you know, I think that's where we kind of started getting to our conversation, because you were doing some adrenal series. And I was like, oh my God, that was me. And I was like, my adrenals were on the top. When I started working with in 2016, my adrenals were on fumes. And to me, it felt like in the morning, I usually would wake up, not heart racing, but like, oh my God, I gotta do things. Like, let me, I was like, nonstop. And I would never drink coffee. I never liked coffee. I would, in the morning, actually, when I used to work in the office before I would work from home, I would make a chamomile tea, and people would be like, you're going to fall asleep. No, I feel like I need to drink some chamomile tea. I don't need more energy right now. So yeah. And when I saw it on paper, I was like, oh, so it's not a good thing to be like a robot or a bunny rabbit. Like,
I used to wake up like I never needed an alarm. I would just wake up on my own at like 6 a.m. My heart would be racing, and I would just be like thinking about all the things I needed to do and feeling anxious, really anxious. Mm-hmm. Every day I was, and I couldn't, like, you know, I would see people like my husband, even he takes him a while to get up in the morning and a while to, like, you know, kind of get, just get going. And he could relax in bed in the morning. And I'm like, no, we have to get up. We have to go. Like, what are we doing today? Even on a Saturday, I'd be like, are we going to Home Depot? Like, let's go, you know? So, and I thought, I'm the same way. Like, I never drank coffee or caffeine or anything. And I just thought, like, oh, I'm just, am I better than everyone else? No, you know that TikTok? because, like, I didn't need coffee. I was so energetic. But, you know, that, and for anyone listening, that what that is that's a sign of an excessive cortisol awakening response. So in the morning, your cortisol is supposed to get high, higher than the rest of the day, not excessively high, but it's supposed to happen like closer to between 8 and 10 a.m. And so if you are waking up and already feeling anxious and like very energetic and wired, that's a sign that your cortisol is really high in the morning. And that can be one of the first stages of adrenal dysfunction. Some people get the thing where they have trouble falling asleep at night, but some of us get it in the morning. And I think that's harder to catch because, you know, if you're sleeping okay, you feel like, oh, I'm just an early riser. We don't tend to think of that as being a bad thing culturally. Yeah. So,
and to me, the way that I was able to explain is just the moment I would wake, turn, I would open my eyes, I would jump off the bed. I would literally jump out of the bed and run to the bathroom, do all the things like that. And for a long time, for a good couple of years, my husband, he's pretty much the same. He's an early riser. So we wake up at 5 a.m., would do our thing quickly, have some breakfast and go to the gym and do our things, because at 8 o'clock he had to go work and I had to start working. And it was just like, bam, bam, bam. When I would work in the office, I would wake up at 4 a.m. because I had a long commute, about 30 miles. So I'm going to go to the gym before I work, and I'm going to go to the gym next to work. So I'll go there and work out for an hour and then do all the workouts and shower. I had a long hair. Now I have like pretty shortish. It's growing, but I had a long hair, blow dry it, put on, you know, dough myself up, and then run to work, do the work. And once a week, I would also have an extra workout because my job had benefits of, you know, bringing a trainer into our office. I would do some kickboxing, and it was just,
that's the thing about PCOS too. And like you mentioned, and I would definitely want to talk about this, is that you are not wrong to say that a lot of women with PCOS are type A. I mean, I absolutely see that to be true. My clients, like in general, do tend to be type A or eldest children, you know, or there's a lot of times there's a connection to childhood trauma, to sexual abuse. Like there are different iterations, but all of these things kind of cause the same problem, which is this feeling like you have to constantly be achieving, you have to constantly be putting in effort, or else you're lazy or you're selfish, or, you know, whatever it may be. Like we all have different stories that we tell ourselves, but for me, it was always lazy. Like I needed to be productive. And, you know, I'll be completely honest that I still battle with that. I've got it all. But that's been such a growing edge for me in my life, is like recognizing that, hey, like your health issues, it doesn't necessarily need to be food that you need to change. Yes, I do think like eating a better, healthier diet does help with your adrenals. And there are certainly strategies for that. But for women like me, and probably like you, you know, we may have been eating perfectly, working out just like everybody would expect us to. And so it's not food or it's not exercise that's the solution. It's stress relief, because your hormones can absolutely be connected completely to the way that you push yourself when you really should be resting. And I feel like this is true the world over, but I don't know. Culturally in the United States, like absolutely we do this to ourselves. Like we push and push, and you're seen as lazy if you're not like successful. the way we define success, you know? And so we tell ourselves that, and our hormones suffer because fertility hormones, I don't know, I kind of think of them like they're very feminine, they're very soft, and feminine energy and soft energy, it's strong energy. Like the feminine is not weak, but it is relaxed. It's graceful. Like it takes its time. It doesn't need to be like, like I'm, you know, conquering the world. It's very much like the world comes to me. And I think fertility is a lot like that. Like I feel that way with my son. It was like, you know, I mean, we did do IVF for him, but I didn't get pregnant through IVF until I finally had kind of let go of the outcome of the IVF and was sort of like, okay, like if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like I'm truly okay with that. And then that's when it all started to like go well for me. So it's that control piece, you know.
Exactly. But anyway, we hold it, and a lot of times we hold it in our chest, in our thyroid, which is right. It's the thermostat of the master gland, and if the third is like clenched, then everything else, it doesn't have to be, you know, the third can be totally normal, right? Quote unquote, right. Quotes. But comes out normal in the labs, but it's still like it energetically, because we are energetic creatures. It can be stuck. So we want to flow, let things, energy, emotions, everything that comes in, we have to let them go out. And I think definitely meditation is a great, and you mentioned it in your journey, and that was very important for me too. In my journey, I was on and off with the meditation with my first pregnancy, but once that happened, my biggest goal was to meditate on a daily basis, because it's like brushing my teeth. I was like, I'm capable of brushing my teeth every single day, twice a day. I think I'm going to be able to meditate. And it's not, and it was a work, right? It was a work for me to understand, to have that acceptance of, I don't have to quiet my mind. I don't have to, you know, raise all these expectations about meditation. And I'm like, I'm bad at meditation. It's no think of that. There is nothing like that. I always talk with clients and I ask them, have you ever tried meditation? Have you, you know, oh yes, I've tried it for 2 weeks and it didn't work. Well, it doesn't work like that. So it shouldn't be working if you're just trying for 2 weeks. It's a practice. It's not an outcome. You shouldn't be expecting anything from a meditation. You should just use that moment to stand still, to leave your to-do list, to leave your worries behind, and living in the present, I think it is that's one thing, living in the present and checking in with yourself, especially when things are, you know, stressful, you're anxious, worried. So many things right now are nuts, and we, you know, pray for, you know, and we think like, oh my God, what is going to happen? What is going to happen? It's going to be like a big hit or anything. So it can pile up, but then we have to remember, we have a family, we have our own health. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. You know, we can get hit by a car or the house can get on fire. Get on fire or something, and you're not going to even end up seeing what will be the outcome of all of this. So let's be present today, because today it's the most important thing, and we are safe, we are healthy, and you know, we live, right? We breathe, we have our friends and family together, or our loved ones.
That's absolutely so critical, that living in the present moment. And that's definitely been something that I've worked on myself over the last several years, because I struggle with that. I used to be one of those people, and this is what, you know, I hear from clients a lot this very expression, I'll be like, what about meditating? Like, have you tried meditating? And they're like, oh, I'm not good at meditating. Like I can't sit still enough for meditation. If that's you, like if you're listening to this and you're like, yep, that's me. Like anytime I try to meditate, like I get too fidgety and I just can't do it. You are a person who needs to meditate. That's the entire thing is like, if you can't calm yourself down, if you can't soothe, then that's what the practice of meditation teaches you. It teaches you to be still. And that's what you need. So the last thing you need is to continue to be more like more fidgety and more like, and less still, because that's just like feeding into that energy. And I think for me, definitely. And for a lot of the clients that I work with, it's very important to have intentional time to be very present. And one of the ways that we do that best is by putting the phone away. And especially with everything going on in the world, it's like you can't escape the bad news anymore if you're on your phone. And I don't believe in just burying your head in the sand and not knowing what's going on in the world around you. I think that's important too. But it can become too much very quickly.
Yeah. And I usually, I do the same thing with my clients. And I also, what else I add is that I purposefully help them identify what is the best time slot in their day. And maybe kind of organize the day, kind of like in a calendar, you know, when you have everybody uses their, most of the people use their phone calendar. So kind of like putting time slots on
like time blocking,
exactly. Time blocking, your tasks and finding that time to do that exact thing. When is it, either when do you need it or when do you have the time? Because if we just kind of throw it out there, just do this, they'll be like, oh yeah, I'll do it later. At least this is how I am. I'm like, oh, I'll do it later. I'll have maybe later. And I actually have a client, I spoke yesterday with her and she was saying that she's sometimes bad at eating because she puts food on the back burner because she still has work to do. And like, yeah, I'll get to it in a moment. Well, I finish this and then I finish this. And then instead of eating lunch at 12:31, she eats at 5:30. I'm like, that's a dinner. That's not even lunch.
Yeah, that's not lunch anymore.
Yeah, that's not lunch anymore. And
I know. So, yeah. I was talking to a client about that yesterday. She's like, and if you're listening to this, I love you. But she's like, you know, she works from home. She's at her computer all day. She just doesn't think about eating. She'll eat like an apple at like 2:00. And then she's like, but I have a big dinner and I fit all my veggies in at dinner. And I'm like, no, ma'am, you need to be eating, like at least put some protein with that apple. My goodness. Yeah.
And her, like, because you were saying, and going back to the fertility hormones, they need food. We cannot, and it's been so popular and it feels like it's still popular, the intermittent fasting, but we, and all the research has been done on men, not on women.
Yeah.
We are complex. We cannot do fasting for an extended period of time, any day of our cycle, because we're going to throw off our hormones. Yeah. And
if you want to fast, wait until you're post-menopause and then, you know, have fun with fasting if you want to, because it's great for your mitochondria. And when you don't have cycling hormones anymore, I think you can tolerate it much better as long as your adrenals are okay. But when you are cycling and especially when you are trying to be fertile, like, no, I do not recommend fasting. And I think that that is such a, it's so frustrating because there is a lot of research about fasting that's positive. And so people are like, well, the research says it's good. But like you said, most of that research has been done on men. And even if the research is positive on women, which there may be some studies on that, like I believe in like type 2 diabetics and things like that, we're not looking at the long-term effect of it. You know, like anything can be great for if it's helping you lose weight, if it's helping bring down your cholesterol, like, yeah, it can be great for 3 months, 6 months. But once it starts burning out your adrenals, suddenly it's not so great anymore. And I think the same thing goes for like really, really restrictive diets, like really restrictive calorie deficits, or, you know, ketogenic diets that are really intense, carnivore diets, like those things. They, if they're helping you lose weight at the beginning and you have weight to lose, there can be benefits that come out on your blood work in the beginning. But I used to do keto with people. And what I would find was that the first year, their blood work looked great. They were starting to look much better. And then after that year passed, their cholesterol would start creeping up. They'd be dealing with constipation, like all of the hair loss, like all these things would start coming out because it's the long-term impact of that stuff. And when it comes to the adrenals and food, like I said earlier, I don't know that it's necessarily what you eat so much as when you eat for the adrenals. Like you need, I mean, protein for sure, but you need to be eating regular meals because your body needs to feel safe. It needs to be like, hey, there's food coming. Like we're not starving. Otherwise, why would it want to reproduce? You know?
Yeah. Well, I like this. And I like this perspective of, yes, we have a clock. We have our eyes to see the sun. You know, the sun is rising, it's morning, sun is up all the on top, it's midday, sun is down, west side, it's sunset. But our body needs, and especially the digestive system, goes by how and when we are eating. If and also the microbiome as well, right? If the microbiome doesn't have a clock, doesn't look at the sun, it's pitch black there. they know what time is it when you're eating. So if you're eating in the middle of the waking up in the middle of the night, then the body, the microbiome is like, oh, it's already morning, probably, or something. And there is so much connection between everything. And
that's what people who do shift work or who like work nights, they struggle a lot with, because there is really good research on circadian rhythms and how you process food better at certain times of the day, especially like morning and early afternoon. Like that's the best time to eat, you know, carbohydrates and stuff like that. I mean, our bodies really do like run by the sun, and so when the sun is up, like, we need to be eating.
Exactly.
Anyway, I cut you off. Go ahead. Tell us what you were going
to say. That's exactly what I wanted to say. And the last, one other point is that your adrenals, like you said, in the morning need carbohydrates. Your progesterone needs carbohydrates. You cannot cut out carbs in your luteal phase because you're going to, you know, shoot down your progesterone, which is exactly what you need if you're trying to get pregnant, regardless whenever it happens. So yes, carbs are not bad. It's just the type of the carbohydrates, right? That's what we want to work on. And that's why I try to kind of shift mindset with my clients. And it comes to, you know, everybody's like, oh yeah, I need to cut out sugar. I need to cut out this. And I need to cut out. Yes, we need to, you know, cut the sugar, but also all the other processed foods and all the other things. And let's look, if you're craving something sweet in the evening, then let's try it. It's normal, but let's add a sweet potato. Let's add some, you know, low glycemic fruits, something that can help your body.
Dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate.
Yeah. That's my favorite one. But I mean, you know, I think you're speaking to something that I see a lot too. And I think it ties back into that whole PCOS type A thing, which is that it seems like most people with PCOS tend to think about food from a punishment standpoint. They're like, how can I restrict myself into being healthier? What foods can I cut? How can I, like, you know, basically punish myself for being the way that I am? We have to get out of that mindset, because the mindset that's really going to help your fertility and is going to help your adrenals and your progesterone production, like you said, is thinking about how can I nourish my body. And so when you think about it from a nourishment perspective, how can I care for myself? Yeah, there's going to come an element, like sometimes self-care is hard. Sometimes it's making choices that we don't want to make, like, you know, not drinking Coke or whatever it may be, you know, like just not having sugar. And sometimes it's about restricting things, but it's also about equally and probably more so about what we add to our diet rather than what we take away. And it's all about the mindset behind it too. If the mindset's not in the right place, it doesn't go anywhere. So,
yeah. And it only adds up. That's the worst thing. From as a mother of a toddler,
yeah,
I see that the things that they're still haven't been able to work on, they're coming out. And again, like we were talking earlier about, you know, being grateful for the journey that we've gone through, and you know, the tragedies and the challenges, is that I don't know if I could have been able to be the mother that I am today if I wouldn't have had that experience and that journey and those lessons, because I had to work with my mindset a lot. That's one of the big things that I was the lesson, is the mindset, expectations, and acceptance. So yeah, and even now I feel like things add up and don't. I want to be more. I have to be more efficient or productive or this and that. And I'm like, get out of that state and be mindful, be with that child. Because, you know, yes, a lot of women, they are pregnant with their PCOS or other hormonal imbalances. A lot of women have successful pregnancies with all that, no issue. But if you haven't dealt with everything that you've accumulated throughout your years, when you will have a child, you'll never have time to work on that, because you have a child to grow, to raise. And it's not like a 3-month thing and then it's going to be gone. It's a long time. Even if you go back to work and you take the child to daycare, you don't have, you know, the luxury of staying with home with your child, you'll still not have your time to discover yourself, to work on your things. So that's why it's so important to work on yourself and mental health, emotional, and everything else outside of that. If we were, you know, tired, it's so important.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, once you have a child, suddenly you never have a minute, not even a second of your life where you're not also worrying about somebody else beside yourself. I didn't really fully understand that until I like actually had my son. You know, people would say that to me and I'm like, okay, but you can't comprehend it until it's there in front of you that, like, you know, it never ends. It never stops. Like, you don't stop being a mom when you put them to bed. You don't stop being a mom when they take a nap. Like, you're always thinking about them. So suddenly you have this other thing on your plate. And if you haven't already got good systems in place for managing your own stress and for, you know, even just like living a lifestyle that is healthier, you don't have to be perfect. You know, I mean, I go to Chick-fil-A sometimes, but it's like
nothing bad.
There's nothing bad about that. It's the fact that the majority of my life is centered around, you know, feeding. I really want my son to enjoy food. I don't want him to feel like any foods are bad. I don't want him to feel like any foods are like, wrong for eating, because I carry a lot of shame about food from being overweight as a kid, and kind of like this mindset of like food makes me, for lack of a better term, food makes me fat. And I don't want him to have that. So I think we've been talking for about an hour, so we should probably wrap it up.
We could.
This was a great conversation. I know. I would love to have you on the podcast again if you ever would be open to that. I think that would be fabulous. Why don't you tell us, because I know you have an ebook, right? And you do coaching as well. So tell us a little bit about like what you offer to people and how they can find out more about you.
Yes. I do offer one-on-one coaching with my clients. This goes and deep dive into all diet and lifestyle and habit changes in order to prepare the body, to prepare the hormones, to prepare the egg. Obviously, depending on stage of the age stage or whatever. I do work a lot with women in their 30s who want to optimize their egg quality, but not in particular. I also work with women with PCOS because I have this history with it. And we work specifically, just me, myself, and her, on everything that goes into her life, and work a lot about this part of mindset. It's not sexy to talk about because it doesn't feel like, you know, when you're just beginning of it, it doesn't feel like has any relations to getting pregnant, but it does, you know, and everything else that connects to overall health, like exposure to environmental toxins and endocrine disruptors, stress, sleep, movement, and also relationships and how stable they are. So I work on all these pillars of health, and we work on each one of them in order to kind of create a wholeness, a balance between all of them. Because when that balance comes in, that's when fertility comes in, when a healthy baby comes in, a healthy postpartum comes in. So all of that comes together. And the other part, if somebody is just not ready yet to work one-on-one, but they still want to get the information first and learn how to track their cycles, how to eat better, have kind of like a big picture idea, some recipes, other things to help improve and balance their hormones, I have this ebook. It's called Boost Your Fertility Now. It's available on my website. And the website is yourfertilitycoachdora.com. Pretty simple. I think it's a great handbook with, like I said, I think the recipes are delicious and very suitable for everybody, from vegetarians to people who eat all sorts of variety of meats and smoothies and everything that you want. I think it's just a great resource, especially for, like I said, for somebody who wants to start, but they're not ready to invest into one-on-one coaching, but they want to get that information from me instead of, like, you know, scrolling on Instagram and, you know, taking
piecing it together and stuff. Yeah.
Because on Instagram, I cannot say, you know, what I write in an ebook. We just talk about one tiny small piece, kind of. So yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my big frustrations with the work that I do on social media, is that I want to give out all the information, but there, in some ways, you can't simplify this stuff down into a 60-second clip or one Instagram post or something. And so, you know, it's a struggle to convey the information. And sometimes people get frustrated because they're like, you know, when are you going to get to, like, the meat of it? And I'm like, well, it's all the meat of it. Like, you have to understand the big picture before you can understand, like, the little pieces. At least that's the way my mind thinks. So,
yeah.
I love something like an ebook where, you know, they can get it all in one place. And then, you know, if you can work with her, I can tell she's an excellent coach. So I am very excited that she exists. And hopefully some of you will end up working with her. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. So grateful for you inviting me here and, you know, sharing the space and, you know, being my social friend, social media friend.
Virtual. I know. And now you're in Texas. So we're Texas friends. We're only like 5.5 hours apart. That's the thing about Texas, but, hopefully we'll get to meet sometime in person. That would be so fun.
That'll be it.
Okay. Thank you for being here today. I'm going to stop recording now.
If you learned something today or you enjoyed today's episode, or both, I'd love it if you would leave me an iTunes review and share this with a friend. If this brought up a question for you that you would like to hear me answer, there is a Google form that you can use to ask me any question you want, and I might answer it here on the podcast. I do it all the time, and I would love to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening. See you next time.